Thanks, Dawn. Thanks, Joan, for all you do for us. And I'm really sorry Jimmy Savedic's not here. Oh, good, Jim, because this is especially for you. It may seem strange that, since I'm reading with the Squirrel Hill Group tonight, that my first poem is a dedication to the grand dame of Pittsburgh poetry, who was a member of the Pittsburgh Poetry Society, Edna McChesney, who was a special friend of Jimmy's. Jim had our group read down in his gym in the boxing ring. He even had a referee in full regalia, and he set it up so that Edna and I had a Tonka sparring round in the ring. Well, Edna died this April, and we went to her service. But Edna was really a person who had such a special air about her, and I know how Jimmy felt about her. I was fortunate enough to go to Japan and attend a couple of tea ceremonies over there, and then I've also attended some in this country. And when we had one in Sewickley a couple of months ago, the woman who was explaining it said that she had spent 10 years learning a little bit about the way of tea, and she was told that it takes a lifetime to learn Chodo, the way of tea, for Edna Clay McChesney. In April petal fall, we follow the roji to the tea house. Edna, wearing a black and white kimono, stands in the house of now, points to the stone basin where we purify hands, hearts, mouths. She beckons us to enter by the small square door separating the quiet inside from the clamor of the outside world. We stoop to enter the waiting room, admire cherry blossoms in the Ikebana, read the brush scroll in the Tokonoma. These are Edna's words that were printed on the program at her service. Gather in my sunset and toast each other in the afterglow. We sit Caesar on tatami mats, watch light filter through strips of balsa wood, listen to the sound of bamboo warbler in the break, bask in the glow of the charcoal fire. Edna sprinkles damp ash on the hearth, cleanses bowl and scoop, whisk powdered green tea, matcha, to a froth. We exchange bows, turn the face away, drink, wipe the rim, before offering the bowl to one another. Edna, who has spent a lifetime mastering the way of tea, serves us one last time. For several years, and especially in the last few months, I've been focusing on Georgia O'Keeffe. I was blessed to tour her house in Abiquiu, New Mexico, the summer it opened. And I also went to Ghost Ranch and her ranch, Rancho de los Burros, abutted the Ghost Ranch, which Pack gave to the Presbyterian Church. So I've tried a few poems about her, and I've been teaching some workshops in ekphrastic poetry, and I noticed Aaron tonight had some ekphrastic poems too. Ekphrastic is just a fancy word for responding to one art in terms of another, usually writing in poetry in response to art. I know we went out to the International Watercolor Society and responded to paintings out there and wrote poems and had a contest with the Pittsburgh Poetry Society. So I experimented in different forms. Here's a triolet. O'Keeffe called a portion of New Mexico, which is called O'Keeffe Country, the far away. Where sky meets land, cerulean and red of undulating hills, Ghost Ranch, a horizontal band, where sky meets land. Buff-colored sand, the riff of wind eroding where it wills, where sky meets land, cerulean and red of undulating hills. Now, the second poem about O'Keeffe is a cinquain, which, of course, is a five-line poem. It's called O'Keeffe's Palette. Ignites flaming canna, oriental poppy, calla lily with red roses, her world. Many of you know the Imagist poets like Ezra Pound, who founded the school, and H.D. and William Carlos Williams. And so I wrote this one thinking of William Carlos Williams. Georgia O'Keeffe's Home. William Carlos Williams might have understood how much depends upon a stark patio door punctuating a stretch of adobe in the small hilltop village of Abiquiu. She bought that house in Abiquiu because she loved the door, and she negotiated with the Catholic Church for 10 years before she got it. When you see it, you say, that's just a plain door in the adobe, but it's what George O'Keeffe saw there. And finally, the poem I've spent a lot of time on, George O'Keeffe's Unlimited Palette. At Rancho de los Burros, O'Keeffe ignored the middle distance, juxtaposed the near and far away. Georgia saw similarities between antlers in the foreground, hilltop peaks in the far away. She captured the panorama of the Black Place, cliffs and mesas near Ghost Ranch, where a mile of elephants crossed gray hills, white sand at their feet. She captured anvil-shaped Paternal, the mountain God promised her if she painted it often enough. The Badlands rolled away outside her door, red hill after red hill, the same earth she mixed with oil, earth colors on her palette, light Naples yellow through ochres, orange and red and purple earth. Georgia climbed a ladder to her roof to be closer to the stars, the full pale moon going down in a lavender sky. Wrapped in a Navajo blanket, she shivered in the early morning dark to paint the sunrise. When she found a sun-bleached skull, a turkey feather, a Kachina doll, she brushed them onto canvas. Never signed her paintings, never felt the need to do so. At her second home in Abiquiu, the adobe house she purchased for its doorway, she planted a garden, nurtured Jimson weed, captured its pinwheel whorls. Georgia wondered if her spirit would return to walk the faraway after she was gone. She wanted to remind us, making your unknown known is the most important thing, and keeping the unknown always beyond you. Thank you. It's my pleasure. We save the best for last. Arlene Wunner.